All right, Hebrews chapter 2. We started last week looking at our heritage of signs and wonders. See, our heritage of signs and wonders. All right. Heritage has to do with inheritance. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. That's in Christ Jesus. So we're looking at God's word to reaffirm, to reassure ourselves for the testimony of God is our evidence and a proof of what belongs to us. So as we look at that in the light of what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus, we have a stronger understanding of what can we expect. What can we expect today? Hallelujah. All right, so Hebrews chapter 2. I read from verse 2. It says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." Hallelujah. Now, well, while we're using this text, I want you to pay attention to something. If you read from verse 1, look at what it says. The writer of Hebrews is making a case between the dispensation of the Old Testament, where we saw tremendous activity of angels, and dispensation of the New, where the gospel was first preached and announced to us by the Lord. So he says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." That phrase, "let them slip," simply means lest any time we should drift away from those truths. We should give the more earnest heed to that which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, the original text actually says, lest we drift away from those truths. So, we can drift away from certain truths. And once truths become theories, practice is impossible. So, it says, we should give the most earnest heed. It tells you the secret of how not to drift away. How do you avoid drifting away from a truth? You give the most earnest heed. Okay? To those things which we have heard. Notice that. So, there is something about your hearing, my hearing, that allows certain truths to continue and that enables you and I to walk in the reality of those truths. So it says we ought to give the more earnest heed. That's what we're trying to do this season. We're giving the most earnest heed to certain scriptural truths so that there can be a stirring up on our insight and awareness about the supernatural. Hallelujah. So it says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, is referring to the Old Testament. Is saying that when angels spoke under the dispensation of the law, notice that whatever they said came to pass. So he's trying to make a contrast. He's trying to show you something superior. Notice in Hebrews chapter 1, when we looked at the subject of angels, we dealt extensively with the fact that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, makes a comparison between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of angels. The Bible says he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. And we said the word name there means authority. Say amen. So there's a realm of authority Jesus has that's superior to that of angels. So pay attention now. If we saw mighty works due to the ministry of angels, if we saw great acts and great outflows of power due to the ministry of angels, it now says the Son, by inheritance, has obtained a more excellent name, or he has a greater authority than angels. Hallelujah. He is the heir of all things. So you and I are one with the heir of all things, or we are joint heirs with him. So he says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, this particular phrase was used only for Hebrew Christians. He's addressing Hebrews who saw God's great and mighty acts. So when he says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, they understood what he meant. It was through the ministry of angels that Moses gave the law. So if the word spoken was steadfast, look at what he's talking about here. He says, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. There was swift punishment for every disobedience. That's what he's saying. So under the law, through the ministry of angels, there was swift. He's saying the one that they spoke was steadfast, and you could see instant manifestations of justice was served. Consequences came, and it was through the ministry of angels. So look at what he's about to say in verse 3 now. How shall we escape? So he's trying to tell you, which one do you think is more sure? What angels do or what the Lord does? Aha. So what he's about to say here is important when it comes to understanding our heritage. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect or reject so great salvation? See what it says. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Notice that. God also bearing them witness. Now, we see here four words, signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost or distributions. And he's using those four words to describe the operations of God's power. And notice these operations have to do with the message of salvation. So it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? A salvation which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that had him. Now, notice the word also. Also, look at that verse 4. God also. So, for you to understand what he's talking about, verse 3 says, we will not escape if we reject the message of salvation, which was first spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, or men became witnesses of this message. So, the message that they preached was a testimony of the power of God. It was a testimony of what God had done in Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. It now says, God also bearing them witness. The word also there means, in addition to the message, there were certain things that accompanied the message. That's what he's saying. In addition to what was spoken, there were certain actions or activities that distinctively followed the message. That's what he's saying. Mark chapter 16. Sorry, I've not been able to get that up for now, so we shall have to open our Bibles, for which you should be glad. Amen. You should be glad. Before screen existed, were you not reading your Bible? Before the days of iPad and iTab and every tab, were you reading it or not? All right. Are you in Mark chapter 16? Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat where? And sat where? What does it mean to sit on the right hand of God? Cushion chair. Cushion chair. The Father's left, right hand, ignoring the left hand. Where did he sit? Where did he sit? What does that sitting mean? Sorry? Authority. Right, thank you. Verse 20. So they went forth. Now pay attention now. So they went forth. Notice the sequence of events. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, what did he do? He revealed a reality to them. When he was with them, listen carefully, when he was with them, there was a reality that taking place. He had just risen from the dead. So he told them, this sign shall follow them that believe. Believe what? The people he was talking to believed on him if he went to the cross. But the signs he's speaking about now did not follow them until he rose from the dead. So the believing before he went to the cross is different from the believing after he rose from the dead. There is a difference. Because he didn't tell them, this sign shall follow you until he rose from the dead. So when he now says, this sign shall follow them that believe, the believing there is a different kind of believing from the believing that they believed. Oh, God. God grant me English language to communicate this. Okay. So it's different from the faith they had before he went to the cross. So the faith he was talking about there, the believing here, another word for it is the believing one, or the one who is saved or born again, or who believes in the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you know, we teach this truth separately, but the truth is that they are all related. We just focus on an aspect. Now, again, to believe that Jesus rose from the dead is also to believe that all the promises of God are now yes and amen. I hope you understand that. Okay, so to believe that Jesus rose from the dead also means we believe that all power in heaven and earth has been given. Is that clear? To believe that Jesus rose from the dead is also to believe that your sins are eternally forgiven. Can you see they're all linked together? Okay. So when it says that, after he told them, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. So in my name now has to do with the authority he now possesses. Now here's what I want you to see. Before he went to the cross, before he rose, there were some things they were already doing. Luke chapter 10. We'll come back here. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. If you've been in church for a while, you should know which verse I'm looking for. So if you tell us, we'll clap for you. Sorry? Yeah. Which verse are we looking for? Okay, shall we? Doing things better to start from 17. You are right. It's just that you jump 2 verses ahead. So you lose the rest of us. So stay with the rest of us. Teach the rest of us. Verse 17, what does it say? And the 70 returned again. Okay? When you use the word returned again, you know, in normal English now, you can't say returned again. You can only say returned. You see, Uncle Mattis is laughing. He will mark your script, he will fail. You can't say, I will come back again. You will come back, you will come back. You can't come back again. I want to return back. You want to return, you want to return. You can't return back. Alright, so he said, the verse 70 returned. And look at what happened now. With joy, saying, look at what they said. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your, what's another word for name? So through your authority. What did he give them? Authority. What kind of authority did Jesus give them? I didn't hear you. What kind of authority did he give them? It can't be all, because he didn't have all here. You see, when we're looking at this step, it can't be all, because he didn't have all. What authority did he have? Remember, when Peter went to preach at Cornelius' house, in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. There was a message Peter preached. Peter said, have you heard the word which God sent unto Israel? Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was preached throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Our God anointed Jesus of where? Nazareth. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with. So Jesus, his authority, his name at that point that meant the one who was anointed by God. What did that anointing, what could it do? It could heal the sick, it could cast out devils. Hallelujah. So when he got back to Jesus, he had given the 12, they went out, he told them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Then after the 10, 12 came back, he now commissioned another 70 to show you he wasn't restricted to the 12. So when he told them, what were they meant to preach? The kingdom of God is near you, heal the sick. So they came back. I'm saying this for a purpose, because I want to explain something so that we can know what to expect. Because again, what we hear consistently, pay attention, has a way of simulating our faith concerning what to expect. What we hear consistently. Do you know, for instance, one of the secrets of walking in health throughout 2020 is that let not a single week pass without hearing a tape on healing and wholeness. Don't. The mind of man has a way of wandering away from the truth. Hebrews here says that, lest at any time we should let them sleep. We ought to give the more earnest. Is describing human nature to us. We give the more, notice the phrasing, the more earnest heed to the things which we've had, lest we hear them. There is this tendency to say that I have had it before. That's how truth sleep. That's how it sleeps. We are preparing for Holy Ghost meeting in January. How does a wise believer prepare? Hear the tapes of the last one. Get in the spirit before you come. Don't wait for us to walk up anything. Be walked up and come. Somebody says, why? We have a tendency to drift away from the truth. In fact, you can hear a prophet that so excites you now, but you stop hearing it. How do you stop hearing? You have had other things after. What were those other things? Those last things bear no correlation to what you've had in prophecy. So here you have, look at it this way. You had a word of prophecy that edified and built you up. So you're expecting supernatural. But after you had it once, you had 7 times after that, words of depression. That told you, this year, is this how this year will end? Look at your life, check your life. Is this how this year will end for you? What have you accomplished? Nothing. What are you doing? You are hearing words injected also, designed to create an impression. So there's something about us. It's not God is not the variable, Satan is not the variable, man is the variable, because we ought to give the more earnest heed. That means that whatever I give the more earnest heed to becomes operational in my life. It governs what I receive per time. That's what There's an expectation I will have constantly because of what I'm constantly hearing. Last weekend I was with my pastor in the minister's conference, and he was telling us about the fact that while he's on the go, there is no week he doesn't listen to messages concerning prosperity and healing, because the way he travels and the way he walks, there is no way your body won't break down, except you are constantly hearing truths of why you shouldn't break down. Because it's so easy for you to sleep in this mood that it's only this one life we have to live. I have a right to be sick. It's very easy. So except you are hearing something that is above that, what happens? You will conform. What does God want you to do? He wants you to transform. Can you see the difference? So he says, be not conformed to this world system, but be ye transformed, which means you are constantly ensuring that natural laws are suspended where you are concerned. But if you have not heard that natural laws can be suspended, it won't be suspended. It won't be a lack of ability, it will be a lack of hearing. It will be a lack of hearing. So there's something about hearing. It says we ought to give the more honesty, which is you keep hearing about the distinction. You keep hearing that the power of God is towards you at all times. You keep hearing that Jesus is risen. It's not old news, it is good news forever. That news is calling your attention to the reality you have now. It is your right to raise the dead. This is, I've not even healed headache. That's the problem. You don't need to heal headache, because you are not the healer. The healer is alive in you. What you need to be conscious that the healer is where? Alive. He's rising. Resurrection from the dead means he's living where? In you. Hallelujah. So you don't hear it once. That's a mistake we make. It's not something you hear once. Concerning the power of God, there has to be a constant hearing. Why? We need to give the more honest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. So the tendency we're standing against is not to avoid drifting what? Away from them. You have to hear about the miraculous. You have to be about the exceeding greatness of God's power towards you at all times to bring about a change. Glory to God. So look at what they had and what they said. The 70 returned again with joy and said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So in thy authority, the authority of the one Jesus the anointed, there were signs and wonders. The dimension of those signs was limited to the authority of the name of Jesus. What scope was the authority? The scope was the authority of one who was anointed by God to cast out devils, to heal the sick. That was the scope of the authority. Hallelujah. Okay, so go back to that Mark now. Mark 16. Notice the difference. Mark 16. Are you there? So then, verse 19. After the Lord, remember where we started from. Remember that in this same Mark 16 is where Jesus gave them instruction. Let me read from verse 15 so it will make sense to you. Mark 16, 15. Are you there? What does it say? And he said unto them, go ye into where? Notice the difference between what he said to them in Luke. Did he tell them to go into all the world? No. Where should they go? Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Preach only to Jews. What is he saying now? Go ye into all. Say all. And preach the gospel unto every. Notice this is license. Say, I'm a licensed preacher of the resurrection of Jesus. I'm licensed by the Spirit of God. I don't just have the message. I have the Spirit within me as proof of that resurrection. I hope you know what you said now is very serious. You are not just a bearer of the message. You are a proof producer. You bear witness. The Spirit within you is proof that the message is true. So it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs. So notice in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says, God also bearing them witness with signs and what? Wonders. The word signs there means an indicator or an indication. Is an indicator of the presence of someone or the presence of a substance. Why is the gospel always followed by signs? Because the person whose testimony is being given bears witness of that testimony. So the indication of his presence always follows or attends the teaching or the preaching of the message. Should I say that again? The word signs in the Greek actually means semion. It means an indication of an unseen presence. So it's to call our attention to the fact that whoever is being testified of is present in the dimension in which his testimony is declared. Hallelujah. What did they go about saying when they said the demons are subject to us? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Here's the question. Did God anoint Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power? Did God anoint him? So wherever they went, because God anointed him, it's true. What happened to demons? Demons were cast out. The sick were healed. The extent of their message was the kingdom of God is near thee. How is it near you? God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. So how did they produce results or prove that Jesus was anointed? They simply preached. And the sign that followed was that demons were cast out and the sick were healed. Why? Signs that followed them were within the circumference of the authority of the anointing Jesus had. Hallelujah. Are you coming along now? So it says God bore them witness also. Also means in addition to the message, there were certain activities that they saw which were an indication of God's presence. You know, when you are going to the Jews, to humanity as a whole, but particularly to the Jews, you cannot say God called you or sent you and there won't be a sign. Because the Jews were used to seeing signs and wonders. If you say you are sent by God, they'll say, show us proof. What proof do you have to show us that God sent you? So look at the days of Moses. When God called Moses, after God finished talking, was Moses convinced God talked to him? Moses was convinced. But Moses knew the people he was going to. Who will I tell them? Sent me. He knew. So tell them that I am sent you. So what if they don't believe that I said that? Sure, I showed them this sign. So he used the rod as a sign. A sign is a pointer to something else. The message is the substance. The sign validates the substance. If the message is true, the signs attest to the message. That's what he's saying. I'm trying to remember his name now. R.W. Shambach went to India. I spent thousands of dollars sponsoring some missionaries in India. 5 years after, no results of soul saved. He became discouraged. What are these missionaries doing? Send them to preach the gospel. How can they preach until souls are saved? So he decided to go there himself. Said the first night, 50,000 people gathered. Said he has never seen people so sick in his entire life at ministry. 1956. It's people sick. As in sick. All kinds of ailments, both the ones you know and the one you have ever heard before, were present. So after I finished preaching, he said he gave the altar call. Nobody came. After preaching for 2 hours, nobody came forward. Most of them were Muslims, and I think India has the highest number of gods on the earth. They are really in bondage. He got this preach. He said no. He said the message that God sent me to preach always comes with signs and wonders. And when the Bible says signs, let me say this. A sign is calling attention to what? An unseen presence, isn't it? To validate the message. The wonder is on the part of those who are building the sign. So they see a sign and they wonder. Hallelujah. Miracles has to do with God's dynamis, God's mighty working power behind the scenes. That's what miracles are. So there are things that God will do to attest to the message that the message is true. And those things call at the attention of people to God's unseen presence. So he said that. When he said, they said, what? I didn't come down here to put down your God. You believe in Muhammad? He said, yes, fine. He said, I want you to give me 3 people. One was lame, crippled. Everybody knew her. She's been that way for over 40 years. She used to scoot along the ground on her palms and her heels. She had never been upright in her entire life. So everybody in the place knew her. They brought her out, and then one was blind and one was deaf. So he said, you know what? I'm going to use the name of my God, Jesus, to pray. I will first use the name of your own God to pray. If this man's eyes open in the name of your God, we will serve your God. But if this person's eyes doesn't open, can I use the name of my God? He said, yes. So they called the name. The first person, he didn't bother to use the name of Muhammad for the first person. He prayed for the first person that was blind. He laid hands. The person's eyes popped open. There was a little staring. The second person that was deaf, he prayed for her. Her eyes opened. When I came to the Mosifical case, the woman who everybody knew had never walked, and I said, I'm going to pray in the name of my maid. And he prayed in the name of my maid. So rise up and walk. Nothing happened. He tried again, nothing happened. He said, I'm going to pray in the name of my God now. He said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk. When you say in the name of Jesus, I wish I could describe to you the activity behind the scenes. The person you are talking about is seated. His sitting implies all that would take, listen carefully, to heal every human on the earth has been accomplished. That's what sitting means. Sitting means all authority. Listen, all authority doesn't mean that you will now exercise. We exercise the authority. He got the authority. But in getting our authority is the reason why, when he said, go ye into all the world, is license. That means there is nowhere you will go where the thing will not work. Because the power I got is all power, not some power. Are you following? So going into all the world means that there is no hamlet you go to, no village you enter, no land you step into, that all authority is not all authority. Nowhere. So why was this man bold to do that? So in the name of Jesus, a woman who had never walked, she stood up and started walking. He said he has never seen that kind of commotion before in his life. People jumped down from trees and ran towards the altar. He said he ran behind his interpreter because he thought they were coming to attack him. And without persuasion, everybody was giving their life to Christ. Every one of them wanted to accept Christ. Why? They saw a sign and they wondered. They knew that the Jesus he was talking about is alive and well. Hallelujah. He spoke about another testimony of a baby. Oh, Jesus is wonderful. Our Savior is alive. He's still working miracles. He's still doing signs. It's the same yesterday. So when you are looking at the dead being raised, as that woman whose dead was raised by Elijah, when you read it, remember Jesus who did it is the same yesterday, today, and when. And he will do greater quality miracles now. Because now all authority. I hope you understand. It's no longer some, it is all authority has been given. This man was a coal miner. He used to work in the coal mine. I mean, you know coal mines, the coal mines. So he had 3 kids and then he gave birth to a last one. And there was something a little unusual about that child that he gave birth to. And in those days, you know, they used to be a bit rough. They would allow you to come to the delivery room, and when the doctor was asking him to push, I imagine the doctor was asking the husband to push on the wife's belly. As he pushed, maybe just shot out and fell on the floor. The doctor now carried the baby from the floor, and the professor carried the baby, hit the baby's head on the table again. There was a hole until fluid started dripping from the baby's brain. The doctor was trying to cover it up and said, there's nothing we can do. This child will be a vegetable all his life. The miner said he first of all lost his Christian consecration. All he could think was, how do I kill this doctor? The murder was inside. He was saying, well, kill that. I'm just going to kill this man today. He said on the inside of him, God just spoke, said that if you do that, if you are thinking that way, I can't help you. So while the doctor was still trying to see what they can do with the baby, Jesus just appeared and stood in front of him. He said, don't go that way. If you do that, you'll stop me from helping you. I'll take care of the baby. Now the doctor, no change in the baby's body. Everything looked the same way. But the minute Jesus appeared, there was this conflict. How many of you know Jesus is alive? Say Jesus is alive. Stay still, appears. Yeah. Some of you don't believe that he appears. You will see him next year. I like you. You said amen. Yeah. There will be some real serious visitations next year. Because there's a lot of work to be done. Hallelujah. So there will be increased appearances. Yeah. There will be increased appearances. So took the baby to a crusade, this man's crusade, and he prayed, and there was no, in fact, the baby's spine was curved in a funny way, the leg was curved in, it was completely deformed looking. They prayed for the baby, crusade, no change. They took the baby back to the hospital, left the baby there. So the guy was already losing faith again that I can't see any physical, and that's what happens. You can't see any physical sign. And Jesus said he's going to heal the baby. So while the baby was in the hospital, the baby was walking in the coal mine, Jesus came again. Why are you doubting? But I told you I would heal the baby. So he called his wife and said, we're going to the hospital. My baby is healed. No matter how the baby looks, my baby is healed. The wife said, yes, let's go. He came to the house before he came to the coal mine to come and talk to you. He came to talk to me too. I love Jesus. So he came to talk to me too there. They went to the hospital, took their baby home. By the time they presented the baby a year after, no sign of deformity. Leg straight, spine straight, head healed. Sound, the power of God. The power of God. The power of God. The power of God. Hallelujah. The power of God. That's why we need to keep hearing about the power of God. You can't have had, you keep hearing. It's not that you had before. You keep what? Hearing. Acts 2. I showed you last week, Acts 2. Because that's the sign and wonder is necessary for authenticating the message. The message is authentic, but God has a way of confirming the message with signs and wonders. What? That's what we're going to read in Mark. Let's read that in Mark before we go. We've not finished what we wanted to read in Mark. Where are we in Mark? Where are we? 7. Okay. 17. And these indicators, can we say indicators? Shall follow them that are ye a believing one? In my name is in my authority, in the light of what I've accomplished, okay? They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with you. Let me ask again, how many of us have cast out devils for? Raise your hand. You've cast out devils for, let me see your hand. You've cast out devils for, let me see. I can't see your hand though. Why do you look like this? You've cast out devils. Let me see how you cast out devils for. Okay. Okay. You know that we have to take it where demons are. You know. Well, you know, your introduction to demons must be physical. Say amen, say amen quickly. It must be physical. It must be, your introduction must be very, very physical. Very clear. Somebody says, why? Just to show your authority. They are not in the same class. Do you notice Jesus puts speaking in tongues and casting out devils in the same verse? Side by side. How many of you speak in tongues? You see all of you are not raising your hand. They are doing you cast out devils. Can you see the same thing? The tongues should let you know that you can also what? Cast out devils. Okay, so see what it says now. You don't separate them. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the. Notice, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So in his name, demons, you cast them out. In his name or in his authority, you speak with tongues. In his name, what does he do? What does he do? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Sorry. Take up serpents as comings. That is another word for saying you destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Don't go and look for six to take up. That's not what he's saying. The words serpents as comings figures which are works of darkness. You destroy works of darkness. Say amen. Alright, so he says, and you shall lay hands on the and they shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord walking with, notice what them is italicized. He wasn't walking with them. He was walking with and confirming the word. He was walking with the word, not with them. He was walking with the word. Was he walking with them? Yes. But how was he walking with them? With what they said. With what they said. He was walking with what they said. That's one of the reasons why I will show you in Acts chapter 4, what was the point of their prayer in Acts chapter 4? When the first recorded time that the church prayed. Now, that wasn't the first time they prayed, the first recorded. That is, we heard about what they prayed about. In Acts chapter 2, they were praying. It was prayer they were praying when the Holy Ghost fell. When Acts chapter 4 was the first time when they came together, and it was prayer that they actually came to pray. So, in Acts chapter 4, when they were threatened, they said, Lord, behold their threatens. And grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. Can you see that? So guard with all boldness. So notice correlation of boldness and signs and wonders. Can you see that? So the more a saint affirms the power of God, the greater the possibility of manifestation. The bolder a saint affirms the power of God, the greater the possibility of manifestation. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. What is your word? The testimony of what he has accomplished. That's the word. That's the word. You know, Pastor Kumi said early days of his ministry that whenever he read that signs and wonders shall follow, he was thinking, okay, that whenever he gets through a crusade and it's time to, he will preach, trying to pray for the sick, he will say, let us pray. You and I, we pray. And Jesus will heal you. He said, you know, if Jesus doesn't heal them, I am not at fault. Because it is Jesus that said he will heal them. So when I said that way, Jesus will heal you, we pray. He said, the first time I did it, I said, we pray for everybody here. If your eyes are blind, be open in Jesus' name. If your ears are deaf, be open in Jesus' name. How many of you have heard it? You have no, you know why he prays? You see? So when he started praying and those eyes were opening, deaf ears were opening, dumb was speaking, he now said, as I pray in Jesus' name. He said, I now think to us, I pray in Jesus' name. I cannot take responsibility. What happened? Boldness after a while. Sally was even in a crusade one day. He had prayed, there were miracles and everything. And he got to the car. And some three people who were crippled, they waylaid him near the car. And the ushers that were with him were trying to stop them from disturbing him. And he told them, no, leave them. What is the problem? He said, I pray that we're crippled, we cannot walk, and we want to walk. I said, no problem. I said, I opened the door of the car. As I was about to get in, I said, you get up in Jesus' name. You are healed, get up in Jesus' name. You are healed, get up in Jesus' name. I said, I entered my car and I went away. And by the time we're driving, getting close towards the gate, we heard a shout from behind us. The first person got up. The second person got up. The third person got up. No. Why? The power of God. Hallelujah. See, my faith is in the power of God. There is nothing that our power cannot work out in my life. I receive healing miracles in my body, new organs, new parts in the name of Jesus. I receive that miracle power in my life to accomplish all I desire. I have a heritage, an inheritance, or signs and wonders. He is seated. All power of God works things out for my good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we keep hearing. We keep hearing about those kind of miracles. So that we can be conversant, we can be conscious and supernaturally expect. So God working with and confirming the word. So signs and wonders are given to confirm a message. What's the message? Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, even in the Old Testament, when Jesus was yet to come, much less rise from the dead, those who were sent by God bore witness to the message with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. With signs and wonders. Look at Acts chapter 2 again. So you see how God presented Jesus to the Jews. Because God knows the Jews. He knows the Jews. He knows how they are. Acts 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Hallelujah. Can you say? So, what was the message that Jesus preached? He called the attention of men to God. I am the Savior of the world, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But while he preached the message, what else was happening? There were signs and wonders. Hallelujah. So Jesus did miracles to attest to the message. So that we should expect miracles should be normal. It is a power of God placed at our disposal. Hallelujah. It's a power of God placed at our disposal. One of our members, the no longer members of this assembly, they had to move away to a far distance. I remember when a young man was knocked down by a car and he was in coma for a number of days. And each time I felt like, let me go to the hospital, as is my duty as a pastor, and check up, I just had this restraint about not going. Okay, the person that was knocked down was like a nephew of the person who was a member of our church. So, and it was like, okay, pastor, the doctors don't know what to do. The boy hasn't come out of coma. They don't even know what is going on and everything. So I said, in my mind, I was thinking I was going to go. So each time I wanted to go, I had this check not to go. So, you know, if you have a check and you're a pastor, the person there will be thinking you don't care. Doesn't know that yes, you had all intention. So I think about the fifth day or so, I called him. I asked about the progress. He told me that this will happen, so. So I said, just hang in there, everything will be fine. That same day in the evening, I just called him. I want to pray for that young man now. And I prayed over the phone. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Very simple prayer. You know, the kind of prayer that the person on the other end was saying, is that all? Nothing is bound. It's not a powerful prayer. You don't need powerful prayer. You need a powerful God. It's not powerful prayer. It wasn't powerful prayer. And then he called me that same night. He said, the doctors don't understand. I said, what do you understand? I said, the boy is out. He said, what's happening? He said, even the damage that they expected, they couldn't find it. That they cannot explain how it came out. The power of God just jacked him out of that situation. Hallelujah. There's something about us trusting God for signs and wonders. I'm believing God for the supernatural regularly all the time. I mean, if God wants to use power to help anybody, shouldn't it be you? Did you hear what I said? Shouldn't it be you? For preservation, for deliverance, for miraculous provision, shouldn't it be you? Think about it. Even people who were not saved at all received miracles because they trusted in God. 2 Kings chapter 5, we have the story of Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army. A young Israelite girl told him, if only you had come to Israel, there's a prophet there that would cure you of this leprosy. The Bible says he had leprosy. He was a captain of the army of Syrians. He was an honorable man, but he was leprous. And then when they finally persuaded him to go, he went to go and see Elisha. And when he went to Elisha, because this man was a prophet, prophets act in strange ways sometimes. Ways that you cannot really explain. All you need to do is just honor and receive from that office. Don't be too bamboozled by their strange ways. So he was expecting, since I'm an honorable man, I'm a man of honor, the prophet should come out and minister. And then Elisha did not even step out of his tent. He was like, go and tell him to go and dip in the river Jordan 7 times. I came for all the way from Syria to have a bath here. We have Fafa, we have Abana, we have wonderful rivers in Syria. I will now come to Jordan, dirty river, because I want to be cured of leprosy. He was angry. He was about to go. The same girl that gave him counsel, how did the man believe for supernatural? A young girl said, if only to God that you came to Israel, there's a prophet of God there that will heal you. So the man had first ear of the possibility. That's why he came. So that small young lady, a maid who was working with them in Syria, now told him that, my Lord, if the man of God had asked you to do a hard thing, would you not have done it? I said, if he told you, bring all your income for the last 7 years, God has need of it, won't you do it? If he says, for the next 7 days, be jumping 7 times in the morning, 7 times, 7 times in the night, by the 7th day, calculate it, shout 2,000 hallelujahs, be counting. By the time you get to 250, you'll have forgotten. Which number am I? The hallelujah. He didn't tell you to do all those things. He just told you. What did he tell you to do? Go and dip yourself. And he said 7 times. That should tell you it's not the river. It's the instruction. Bible says a man went and his flesh became like that of a newborn baby, cleansed with no trace by the power of God. Hallelujah. By the power of God. And that was under the Old Testament. Think about it. And now we have greater quality miracles by the same power of God. Hallelujah. By the same power of God. had a testimony of a woman who was trusting God for certain finances. I think it had something to do with house rent. And the money that she had wasn't enough. The man of God, now, this testimony sounds a bit dubious, but the truth is that I believe the power of God. I believe the power of God. And the amount of money, let's say she was looking for $65,000. She had about $30,000. The man of God prayed with her and agreed that God will provide. And she took the money to her friend that, let's count the money. That was $30,000. They counted. It was now $40,000. Saying, no, something's wrong. He took to another friend. They counted. It was now $50,000. So he took to another friend. That something is wrong where they're saying, they counted. It was now $60,000. Ah. So he now went to the landlord with the money. That there's just before you just count it. The man counted $65,000. It was complete. So the miracle happened as they counted. Can you explain? You can't. I too cannot explain. What do? I just receive it. Hallelujah. I just believe. I just receive. And then someone said, what's that? If God can multiply oil, do you know what it means for a woman to be pouring from one small? There's a big pot. About 21 pots are here. This is small. You know that I cannot fill one pot. You fill first pot. Is that oil coming from that thing? The first pot, full. Second pot, full. When did the oil stop? When there was an empty container. Who caused the oil to stop? The woman. What does that mean? It won't stop until you are tired. What was God trying to say? There's enough where that came from. If you want more. If you want more. There was a testimony I heard about Apostle Babalola. They said that people would sometimes give him money and he would put it in a particular bag in the house. He just put it there. Then anybody that has any need, that come, daddy, so and so, say, okay, go and take one cup from there. They will go and take. And they've been taking from that place for a long time. It has not finished. And they keep taking from the place. And it doesn't finish. And nobody has seen him go and put money there before. He always only get go and take from that place. He will just keep taking and keep taking and it doesn't finish. There are testimonies of God's miraculous provision like that in at different times in men's lives. At different times. Hallelujah. And I'm believing God for supernatural provisions, for financial increase and financial blessings this same season in the name of Jesus. I believe the power of God can get it done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about creative miracles? How many do you want to testify of? How many do you want to testify of? Matthew chapter 12, we see the man with the withered hand. You know what that means? Withered simply means that the hand is deformed. So when Jesus says, stretch forth your hand, and the other hand became like the other, it means new cells, tissues, flesh, nerve, muscles, bone was created at the instance of stretch forth your hands. That's what it means. And we're creating miracles at the instance of stretch forth your hand. A blind girl went for a crusade done by Pastor Kumi. She hadn't seen him. She was now 72. Through the effect of witchcraft, she became blind at 12. She was now 72 years of age. So for 60 years, she had been blind. So when the prayer was made for her to see, there seems to be no sign. There seems to be no sign. But when she got home, her eyes just opened. And she began to see everything clearly, never needing glasses, so clearly. That's another testimony also of another young lady that was in the wheelchair. She was in the wheelchair, her mother was blind. She went for the crusade, her mother was at home. God can give miracles to individuals that are not present in a meeting. We're having a meeting here, and somebody came, and as we're praying for each person that was sick, when I got to her, she said, I'm standing for my brother who is at home right now, paralyzed. So what happened? Said he stepped on something, and from that time he has not been able to walk. That was Sunday afternoon. We're doing healing meeting here. As I laid my hands upon her, power of God went through her. She got home, she got a call from the same brother who was now walking up and down. The brother was not in the ministry. She stood for the brother. She got the power. The brother was ill at home. So even by proxy, people receive miracles. Hallelujah. People receive miracles. People receive miracles. So it is as men just believe and expect things to happen. What am I talking about is that I want you to expect the miraculous. Make provisions for the miraculous. Trust that the power of God will produce astonishing things in your life this season. Now, there is no health issue, health challenge, any sickness, any disease, any particular medical condition that the power of God will not change at this time. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this young lady, she was one in which a prayer was made. She got up. Her mother had never seen her walk. Even before the mother also went blind. Something strange happened. She got home, calling her mother's attention to the fact that, "Mom, I came home with that wheelchair. I'm now walking." When she said, "I'm now walking," the mother's eyes opened. And the mother saw the daughter for the first time also walking. I heard another testimony of a couple for 9 years trusting God for a child. The man was using faith, trusting God, you know, that through faith the conception will come. Then something happened at the time he was the only child of the mom. And then the mother was going blind. They prayed, they did everything, the blindness wasn't resolved. Medication, everything, was just me money, wasn't resolved. Then the guy, one day when he was praying, "God, give me a wisdom," said, "Tell your mother that she should say that she will see her children and carry them, see them with her own eyes and carry them in her own hands." So he said, in that 9th year, as they were making that confession, the wife conceived. The mother had been led in that confession. Her eyes remained closed. The day the woman wife came back from the hospital with the baby and brought the baby home and said, "Mama, we are here," her eyes opened. And she saw the baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are series of miracles. What wisdom did God give? Tie that miracle to this child. Since I said she will see the child, she must see the child. And the power of God went into operation. Not only did they have a child, the mother saw the child. Hallelujah. So there's something about you and I trusting, because again, like we said, if there were those kind of astonishing miracles, the Bible says today God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can what? Ask or think, according to the power that what? Worketh in. And like I said again, why do we need to hear? So that we remove limitations from our mind. Listen, say it's never too late. Say it's never too late for the power of God to sort things out. It's never too late. Say it's never too late. Say, for God it's never too late. You know, a preacher said that in a meeting, and a woman went to challenge him. You know, some women can be very bold. She just banished letter. All your preaching is never actually not late. This is the divorce letter. It has been finalized today that my husband sent to me. We are now finally divorced. Tell me if your God still thinks it's not too late. The bishop looked at her. Yes, it's still not too late. Bring the letter. Prayed with her. He said, "Your husband is a rascal. But he will come back home, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and remarry you." That's exactly what happened. In 7 days' time, the same man that filed for divorce came back home, said, "Filled with the Holy Ghost, and remarried her." So when you say it's too late, notice you are the one saying it is too. Don't be like me and say, "Look, by now he stinketh." Jesus said, What does being dead for 4 days? What does that have to do with the resurrection and the life? Who puts the bone to bone? Who puts flesh to flesh? Who puts the muscles and the sinews? Who creates the ligaments and the tendons and the muscles? Who gives babies to those that have no womb? You didn't hear me. Who gives babies to those that have no womb? I mean, I saw a testimony of a woman whose womb had been removed, and they had a baby. When the baby was delivered, there was a membrane around the baby that the doctors could not explain. It wasn't womb, it was a membrane. And the baby came out alive and well. And there was no womb. You know, he could have replaced the womb. He didn't. He just wanted to show another dimension. That for you, medically, you cannot have a child without the womb. There's no womb. We will still have a child. There will be a membrane. You will see it. Doctor, you cannot explain. Because this one is beyond your understanding. They don't teach you in medical school. This is from heaven. Hallelujah. This one is from heaven.
what the power of God can do. Suspend natural laws. Violate them if necessary. That's what the miracles are. Suspension of natural laws. So that the saint can be blessed. So that people can be blessed. Because I ask myself, if God, through Elisha, can cause a hawk's head to swim, just so that the one that they borrowed it from can return, what won't he do for you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also what freely give us all things? A young man is a last man official now. I see him on the road. On Facebook, he's always liking my posts. 2002, he came to me. He said, "Pastor, I failed 3 courses. And I failed last year too. This is extra. If I don't have the extra, I'm finished." So what did they say in their department? He said, "The person I went to told me that it is those that have only one course that they can help. That maybe you should go and call your mother." He said, "I can't call that woman. My father is late. What we should come and do here?" Say, "What can we do?" I said, "We can come boldly through no grace. We can obtain mercy and find grace that will help you in time of need." I said, "This one is mercy. Because you failed. So you failed." I said, "Come, let's pray." It was a Friday. Service, it was supposed to resume at place of service with other colleagues by Monday. But here it was, not with 2, 3. You know, if you are going to believe, you have to believe for the impossible. Because he himself is telling you the condition. That's, I've gone to the lecturer in the department, they told me that if it was one, we will consider. Your case is special. If your case is special, you are in a good place. It means you qualify for a miracle. A special case is not a hopeless case. It's a case that demands for the power of God. It means your resource, your paper needs to be marked by another. One that will never accuse you. One that will never condemn you. One that went to exonerate you. I'm talking about Jesus, who meant those who were crying. You know, some situations were described in scripture. If you don't read very well, a woman is a widow. And she has an only child. And the child is now dead. First time I heard the sermon, it was Pastor Kumi who said that the resurrection of an only hope. I never forgot the message in my life. She's a widow. No husband. Only child. Young man. Now dead. Everybody was mourning. The only person who didn't mourn when they saw her was Jesus. He touched the coffin. "Young man, I say unto you, arise." Arise. Here is the interesting part. The woman did not ask for the miracle. She couldn't see the miracle. She was crying because her only hope was gone. He just got there and demonstrated the character of God. "Young man, I say unto you, arise." Check the story, Luke chapter. Genuine didn't ask for it. She wasn't expecting. She didn't even think it can happen. What was Jesus doing? Just demonstrating God's love and God's power. You are a believer for whom Christ died. You will now be in a situation. You now say God is ignoring me. It's a slap on God's face. Who else does God want to help more than you? 3 million stiff-necked people. And the Bible says if they are stiff, if the Bible says somebody is stiff-necked, the neck is really stiff. And God gave them food for 40 years. Every day. Continuous miracle. As their leg grew, their shoes grew. There was no water. Their clothes were being supernaturally cleansed on their backs. If they pass a particular place, every deadly reptile is cleared away by angels. Every day. Imagine every day. What is guiding you is a pillar of fire. The sun shall not smite you was physically, practically experienced. A cloud covered them from the sun. And it happened for 40 years. So if God says they were stiff-necked, they were stiff-necked. They saw continuous miracles for 40 years and they still doubted. Think about it. For 40 years. If you see a pillar of fire following you at night to your house, I think PM needs to carry it. A cloud covers you for just 2 days. You'll be a guest on TBN at least next weekend. Come and tell us about the power of God. You'll be on Facebook. Testimonies of God's power. These people did 40. The Bible says they were stiff-necked. And God still showed power. Just to show that they were his people that he chose. And he called out of darkness into his light. Hallelujah. Why shouldn't the power of God work for you? Why? Why shouldn't God provide for you? Why shouldn't he heal you? Why shouldn't he give you whatever it is that you desire? What am I saying tonight? Open your heart for the supernatural. Expect the miraculous. Let it be a constant meditation. I believe in God's power. My faith is in the power of God. 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 All things are possible to me. I am a believing one. My faith is in the power of God. There's nothing I have believed that I don't receive. My faith is the power of God. God's miracle working power is alive inside of me. I experience supernatural provisions. My body is healed. Every anomaly in my body is corrected. I receive increase. I experience supernatural progress. My life is preserved. I experience the power of God on every side. The wisdom of Christ is mine to enjoy now. In the name of Jesus, I am never stuck. I am never stranded. I experience divine leadership at all times in my life. I am never without. I have abundance. I have God on my side. None can be against me successfully. I experience the fullness of his word in all my experiences. I have no fear of tomorrow. I am more sure about tomorrow than I am today. There's a holy confidence that arises within me. If God be for me, none can be against me. He has set me apart. He has lifted me up. He has set me on high. I refuse to allow thoughts of doubt and insecurity to fill my heart. I declare there is no weapon that is formed against me that will prosper. He has helped me in the past. He is helping me now. He will help me again. He will assist me again. He will provide again. He will supply again. He will meet my needs again. He will assist me again. He will put me over again. I have victory upon 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 victory. I experience supernatural breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. My down days are over. My days of lifting are here. My days of lifting are here. My days of lifting are here. My days of increase are here. The power of God sorts things out on my behalf. This is the best Christmas ever. This same season of Christmas, I experience the miracle of the name of Jesus in all my affairs. I experience his abundance, his largesse on my behalf in every area. No area of my life is left untouched. I experience his mighty power in all areas. I make tremendous progress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us that believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The exceeding greatness of his power causes things to work on my good. The exceeding greatness of his power fashions things on my behalf. The exceeding greatness of his power turns things around in my favor. The exceeding greatness of his power causes me to have supernatural experiences in line with his word, in line with divine provision, in line with his will. The exceeding greatness of his power causes all things to work together for my good. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forever. Glory to his name forever. Say, I believe in the power of God. My faith is in the power of God. The next 20 days of this year, my faith is in the power of God. I experience mighty visitations. I experience great deliverances. I experience mighty supplies. I experience supernatural increase. I experience divine flight in the name of Jesus. The exceeding greatness of his power causes things to work for me. Hallelujah. I hear good news. 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 I have awesome testimonies even this season. I have awesome testimonies even this season. I round up this year with great testimonies of God's provision and his mighty power in my life. I round up this year with great testimonies of God's provision in my life. Glory to God. 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 I've set my face like a flint. I know I shall not be ashamed. I've set my face like a flint. I know I shall not be ashamed.
I have set my face like a flint. I know I shall not be ashamed. I know I shall not be ashamed. My confidence is up, 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 up. It will never come down. I might know I will never be ashamed. The power of God is working. The power of God is working in my life. The power of God is working things out for my good. Glory to his name forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Glory to your name forever. Glory to your name forever. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Our eyes are on you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your glory. Thank you for your glory. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the amazing testimonies we round up this year. Testimonies of your glory, of your power, of your mighty workings in our lives. Thank you, Father. Yeah, we are justified. We have been justified. In our experience also, we are justified. Your mighty power justifies us. Thank you. We receive all our heart's desires by the power of God. Glory to your name forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.